Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth of the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Friday, August 26th, and we are in the midst of our regular annual missions conference here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, and I'll be saying more about that at the close of the broadcast. But do pray for us that God would bless us, give us wisdom to know what to do with the missionaries that we're listening to and looking at and praying about what God would have us do financially on our end. And so if you will, remember that in prayer and ask the Lord to help. We're having some good preaching and good missionary representations and expecting that again tonight as well. Amen. All right. Well, I've been mentioning some prayer requests. I want to mention a few of those again as well. We've been asking to pray for Brother and Sister Hall. Mrs. Hall has been battling with AFib off and on now for the last little bit. And keep her in your prayers that God would touch her and help her and strengthen her through these days. And then also Brother Doug Cox, pastors over in the Charlottesville, Virginia area. He is in the Charlottesville Hospital and has been for about 2 weeks now. And he's battling a staph infection in his blood as well as a rare infection in his bloodstream, and he certainly needs our prayers. He's got a rotator cuff that's torn, caused him a lot of pain, and then he's got practically blind in his left eye because of the infection. So keep him in your prayers that God would touch him. He is doing better. They're trying to wean him off the pain medication, and they're also got him on these high-powered antibiotics and looking at possibly sending him home sometime in the near future. They're going to have to keep him on those antibiotics, though, for several weeks. And so keep him in your prayers about that. And then one more, very serious, Brother Ryan Marlowe, pastors there in Wilkes County, North Carolina. And he's been in the Baptist Hospital now and been battling for about a week these brain lesions that they still really don't know exactly what's going on. But it seems very life-threatening, seems very, very serious and very aggressive. And so he certainly needs our prayers, and pray for him and his wife and his children and his church that the Lord would help them through these days. All right. Well, I've got a song here by the Shepherd family, then the message from the Word of God that I trust will be a blessing as we complete the message that we began on Monday's broadcast. But the Shepherd family singing one entitled, There Ain't Nothing Better Than Jesus. All right. As we get ready to look into the scripture for this week's sermon, I'm preaching from Genesis chapter number 22. We'll be reading the first 14 verses. Genesis chapter 22 verses 1 through 14. I'm preaching about Abraham's example of obedience and faith. Abraham's example of obedience and faith. I'm going to be preaching about the symbolism that we see in this account. We're going to look at the faith that is obvious in this account. And then we're going to look at the example that is given to us in this account, and we will continue this throughout the week. So I hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. Genesis chapter number 22. Very, very familiar text, I'm sure. I want to read these first 14 verses this morning. I'm not going to preach from all of them, but I've got some thoughts on my heart that I pray God will help us look at and use this morning for His glory and honor. Genesis chapter 22. And verse number 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son.
And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Amen. So they went, both of them together. And it came, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. I got to thinking about that day. I looked up and saw there was a sacrifice available. Amen. Woo, amen. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Hallelujah. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, which, or as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I'm going to stop reading there. I read the whole account just so that it would be fresh in our minds. But look at verses 1, 2, and 3. He said, and it came to pass after these things. Now, Abraham's already gone through some things. That's what he's saying. God has brought Abraham step by step to a point that he's going to ask more of him. That's what he does to you and I, by the way. We have to mature to a point that he can ask us for more. Look again, verse number 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. I'll deal with that in a little bit. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. God just asked Abraham for the greatest step of faith he's ever made. And Abraham made it. He didn't know already. God knew how much it was going to cost Abraham. You think about how heavy that must have laid on the heart and mind of Abraham. What would he do? How could God ask such a thing? Amen. Now think about this. All them heathens around there. All the heathens that lived around Abraham and in the world that Abraham knew, they could boast and they could say, you know, I'm more dedicated to my idol God than you are to yours. You claim he's a real God. I'm more dedicated. I gave my child. I sacrificed my child. I believe in my God so much, I gave my child to my God. God's going to prove to all them heathens that Abraham believed God as much as they believed theirs, and yet Abraham's God was not a murderer. Amen. Abraham's God was a God of sacrifice, but he's also a God of substitute. Hallelujah. Amen. Our world says, how can you serve a God that sends people to hell? Our God sent his only begotten son to keep people out of hell. That's what he did. Our God don't send people to hell. Their false gods send people to hell. Amen. Believing all them false gods, walking all that false, that's how people go to hell. Amen. You don't go to hell believing in the real God. Amen. Ain't got time to run all them rabbits, but it's there. It's an extraordinary demand. All those heathens bragged about how they had sacrificed their God. Would Abraham be as dedicated? Now listen, would Abraham be as dedicated to the true God as they were to the false gods? Makes me, and by the way, he's going to get a chance to prove that he would, but it makes me think about how dedicated people in this world are to their sports gods. Amen. To their Hollywood gods. They can't afford to pay tithes, but they can pay for cable. How come? Because they got Hollywood gods. Amen. They can't be faithful to the house of God on Sunday, but they can go watch this ball game on Sunday, or they can go attend the ball game on Sunday. Amen. How come? Because they're dedicated to their gods. Amen. I could, 1,000 things I could say. Remember a man years ago when we was at Vision, I was preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians, and God revealed to me how that this, and it was in chapter number 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He talked about purge out the old leaven, and God got to deal with me about how the fact we had people on our roll that hadn't been there in years, and their name was still on the roll, and it's not right. God said, purge that old leaven. And so what we did, I mentioned to the church, talked to the deacons about it. We had deacons then. I talked to the deacons, and we prayed about it, and then we mentioned to the church, and here's what we agreed to do. We was going to go to everybody we could go to. We was going to send letters, but we was going to go to everybody we could go to, and we was going to tell them, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to purge the records. We want you to come back. We don't want you off the road. We don't want you out of church. We want you in the house of God, but and we've come to ask you to come. If you don't, in 30 days, we're going to take your name off the roll. Had a woman that hadn't been there in probably 10 years at that time. She said, preacher, I've been planning on coming. I just ain't had a chance in 10 years. You think her husband would get away with that? If he said, honey, I've been planning on coming home, but I ain't found a chance in 10 years. You think she'd believe that? We had a man, Brother Hall, went to this man's house, and I don't mean to make this long, but I want to drive it home. I want to drive it home. Lord help us. We went to this man's house, Brother Hall. We got there. He had a Ford Fairlane, candy apple red. Beautiful. He's out there washing it when we got there. Had waxed it. I mean, it's beautiful. And we went in and talked to him. He had been a deacon at Vision at one time. Hadn't been there in years. I talked to him and I said, we came to encourage you to come back to church. Here's what he said. He said, preacher, I would, but he said, it's just so far. Had to drive across town to come. And it was about, I think it was about 15, might have been 15 miles. I drove 20 miles for 20 years one way. Amen. And some of y'all drive that and more. But it's just too far to go to church. But we got to talking. I mentioned about his car, how nice. Matter of fact, another fellow was talking about how nice that car. Oh, yeah, he said, I just headed down to a car show last Sunday in Charlotte, which is not 15 miles. It's closer to 100 miles away. Yep. And when we was leaving, one of the men with me, he said, you know, it's sad that he wouldn't drive that far for God. I said, oh, well, he does drive that far for his God. That's the problem. What is there that God could ask us that's too extreme for God to ask us? Amen. Oh me, Lord, help us. There's an extraordinary demand. And so we see these, we see the world. The world is dedicated to their gods. Yeah. I've already dealt some of the questions. Would it be too extreme for God to submit, for us to submit to? It runs parallel with this extraordinary demand. I want to ask you this. Does God have the right to ask us to leave our lazy chair and go to the house of God on a church night even though we're tired? Does God have the right to do that? Does God have the right to ask us to pay our tithes and support missions even though it might cost us some desired trinkets or a trip to the restaurant? Amen. Does God have the right to ask us to leave our homeland and carry the gospel to heathens that would never know the love of God if we don't? Does God have the right? Amen. Does God have the right to ask us to teach a Sunday school class, to go out on visitation, to walk over and shake hands with somebody and welcome them to church or let somebody know you're glad they're in the house of God? Amen. Does God have the right to ask us to step out of our otherwise ordinary routine and do something for the glory of God? Is that an extreme demand? Notice not only Abraham's extreme deference and God's extreme demand, but look at verse number 3. Notice Abraham's early departure. Oh, man, this is what got me thinking about everybody this. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Abraham did not hesitate. Are you listening? Sometimes, Lord, just let me think it over. Might be one of the worst things you can do. I'm not saying you shouldn't think about things, and I'm not saying you shouldn't pray about things, but when God's word is clear, when the will of God is clear to you, amen. You don't have to know what tomorrow holds. What about? You don't have to know all that. If you know God's word is clear, amen. Abraham did not hesitate. Not that he didn't roll these things around and around in his mind. I'm sure he did. But Abraham conquered his feelings by choosing to believe God. He didn't know how it would all work out, but he knew he could trust God. Amen. Amen. Now, listen, we know that God didn't actually require Isaac to die as a sacrifice. But Abraham didn't know that when he got up early and went about his business. Amen. Abraham didn't know the end yet. He simply trusted God. Amen. It appears to me that Abraham didn't even talk to Sarah about it. Don't see it in here. Obvious Abraham didn't tell his servants what was going on. He didn't even tell Isaac all the details. You know why? Abraham had to bear this burden. Probably out of respect for Sarah's why he didn't talk to her about it. She's the weaker vessel. This load might be too much for her. Amen. Might be more than she could bear. And so Abraham mans up, if we could say it that way, and bears the burden alone. Amen. He simply rose up early in the morning saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac, his son, clave the wood, rose up and went to the place which God had told him of. Abraham didn't give himself time to raise additional doubts and questions. Amen. He didn't give himself time to come up with more arguments why he shouldn't do it. He just got busy doing what God said do. Amen. More than likely, if Abraham had told some other people about it, they would have tried to talk him out of it. Amen. I remember my dad, when he announced that God called him to go to Kansas as a missionary and raised his deputation and was leaving. I remember Dad's mom was still alive then, my grandmother. Grandma said, this is what she said to my dad. She said, Plato, I'm glad you're serving the Lord, but I just wish there's a church around here close that you could pastor and serve the Lord. Well, it wasn't that there wasn't a church close by that Dad could pastor, but that wasn't the will of God. Amen. Sometimes we'd say something about what God's asked us to do, and our neighbor, I don't see you having to give that much. I don't see you having to go that far. I don't see you having to live that way. I don't see you having to go that regular. I don't see you having to stay that long. I just don't see. They come up with every excuse they can. Amen. They would have probably said, God, surely God's not in this, Abraham. But he didn't ask them. He just obeyed God. Now, how could Abraham believe God so callously, we might say? Well, I'll tell you how. He just trusted God. He believed God. Amen. He knew that God could not lie. That's what all those texts, Paul's using them, Peter uses them, James uses them. They're all talking about how Abraham believed God and it's counted him for righteous. Abraham knew that God swore by his own name because there's no other name that he could swear by. In other words, God could not lie. Let me ask you a question. Do we believe God that way? Is that the same God we serve? Is that the same God, the God that cannot lie? Is that the God we serve? Can we unquestionably obey God? Now, I'm going to conclude with these few questions and observations. I want us to consider it and take heart. Boy, God gave me this thought and I wrote it down. I had to go over it two or three times. Do we see Christianity as saved folk serving God, or do we see Christianity as God serving saved folk? That's what's on TBN. God serves saved folk. Oh, if you just believe God, God will let you drive a fancy car. Oh, if you just believe God, God will give you all, everything will be wonderful, everything will be good, everything will be smiles and happiness and sunshine from here. They believe that God serves Christians. That's not how we see God. Christianity is about Christians serving God. Here's another question. Do we have the right to make demands of God? Or does he have the right to make demands of us? Amen. Amen. We can learn some things about faith and following God if we just look at Abraham. Observe those. That's why God gave us these stories, these people in the Bible. They're not perfect and God's not wanting us to exalt them, but he's wanting us to see we can follow in their footsteps. Amen. They're men of like passions such as we are. Amen. We can follow in their footsteps. Amen. We can learn some things. By the way, Abraham, in following God, chapter number 22 of Genesis, here's all the Bible Abraham had. He didn't have Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He didn't have New Testament. He didn't have nothing but just those first few verses. If you want to say it that way, I realize Moses hadn't come along yet and he didn't have any of the written word of God, but he had those stories that have been passed down. I believe that's true. And Abraham knew something about God, but he didn't have a complete Bible like we have, and yet he believed God completely. Don't mean you have a long way to go. Yes, we do. We have a long way to go. Amen. Most of us have been lured into believing popular psychology rather than believing the Bible. Amen. Many of us have been tricked into believing the false teachings of the televangelist or TBN rather than believing the Bible. Abraham believed God. I want to ask you, do you believe God? Do I believe God? We say we do. We say, what does our life say? We say we believe God. And by the way, I don't know what tomorrow holds either. I'm going to be asked to live this too. Amen. We say we believe God. Do we really believe God? Do you need to come pray? And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. But let me take just a moment to remind you that we are in the midst of our annual missions conference here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. We are easily located at 1415 Island Ford Road in Madisonville, Kentucky. And we'll have service time tonight at 7 p.m. This will be our Friday night service. We'll have two preachers tonight, as well as missionaries telling their story and about their call and what they plan to do. And then also tomorrow at 3 p.m., we'll be gathering in just for an evening service, Saturday afternoon, I should say, Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m., going up till about 5, and then we'll have supper and then no service in the p.m. after that.
but then Sunday morning at 10 a.m. again for Missions Conference. So I hope you'll stay and be a part of that. And if you will, as I say, come and be a part of those services with us. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.